21 of chapter 5 of submitting yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. You might choose to do that. But you can't use this particular admonition as speaking to children as opposed to adults at whatever point that is. However, the next verse, honor your father and mother that your day may go well with you and your day may be long, that applies to all people of all ages who have parents of all ages. That one does. If you go all the way back to what to when it was given, there's no age restriction. It's not speaking to children being non-adults. It's speaking to anybody that's got parents. However, that word honor is misunderstood, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's look at the word obey. It's a continuous action verb. Children, obey your parents. So it's one of those things that when you try to make English fit the Greek, it's awkward. Man, I miss Fred. He keeps me so on my toes. When a guy's sitting there reading out of his Greek Bible, keeps me on my toes. I have strong toes now because of that. In Greek, it's literally be always obeying or be in a posture of obeying. And the word for obey is the word hupakuo, which sounds like you just say, should say gesundheit after it, doesn't it? Hupakuo, H-U-P-A, wherever Sandra is, she's writing this down. Hupakuo, H-U-P-A-K-O-U-O. If it's one of those compound words that often you can find the meaning by just breaking down the two parts. The two parts of the word are the word to hear and the word under. So here's what it mostly means. The vast usage of this word means, in its continuous action tense, means to be paying attention with the intent to submit to their authority. All of you that are parents who have had children understand there's a difference between hearing and paying attention. Yes, I hear you screaming. You're one of the 25 voices in the room right now that are screaming at me. Yes, I hear that mixed in the cacophony of you know, audio information being thrust into my brain through the ear canal. Am I paying attention to you? Well, that's another thing entirely. But this word means to be paying attention with the intent of submitting, which is interesting. Remember, he's writing to, in context, he said this is what it looks like when children in God's kingdom are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything. We have some really, really good parents in our church. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But obedience is not something that comes natural to humans. Humans have to be taught to obey. The Bible says that it's the parents' job to teach children obedience. It isn't the school system's job. It's not the Sunday school's job. It's parents' job. That's one of the spheres of responsibility that goes with the privilege of taking care of lives that God himself owns, that he's entrusted to you. Part of the way obedience is taught. Boy, I've had people get really upset with me over this. And of course, you always have an out. If you don't like what I'm saying, first of all, you are accountable for what God's word says. So do the research that I've done. And if it says something differently, well, then do what God says instead of me. But the other out you have is to say, well, you don't know anything. You don't have kids. See, we're not, this isn't Bob's advice. This is what God's word says. The thing about learning obedience is there has to be consequences for disobedience, for obedience to be learned. And we live in a society where somewhere many years ago, somebody wrote a book that a lot of people swallowed that says, no, that's not necessarily true. If you just leave kids to themselves, they're going to turn out fabulous. Yeah, does it look like young people in the world that we live in have turned out fabulous? It's interesting that the Bible says one of the characteristics of the last days, and it says it in horrifying language that doesn't seem to bug us as much as with the intent that it was written, is that one of the things that characterized the last days is that children would have disregard for obedience, notably to their parents. And of course, it doesn't stop there, does it? It filters into, actually, a child that doesn't learn how to obey their parents isn't going to know how to obey God, let alone any other authority. So one of the things about learning obedience is that disobedience, there has to be consequences. They might be severe if the disobedience is severe. I know some people, we've had people in our church that said, I would never punish a child. And I thought, man, I hope I'm in heaven before your child grows up to be an adult. And if I'm not, then I'll come visit them in jail, because that's where they'll end up. If they've never learned, if there's never any punishment for disobedient behavior, they're going to be dangerous people. You may know somebody like that. I do. The odd thing is, it's being taught in our schools. It's being taught in the world that we live in. In some countries, I won't mention their names, but if you punish your child, you can be arrested. It's obvious that the world's way is different than God's way. God says, this is the way it works in my kingdom. And so I think the Bible has a lot to say about children learning obedience. By the way, Proverbs is just filled with teaching on that subject, and I'm not going to go all into it. But don't leave out the last two phrases in this admonition. By the way, there aren't any children really in here, so this, darn, you know, I'm missing a great opportunity. When this letter was read all over the churches in Paul's day, the children were in there. So I know we have got great teachers, and maybe they're saying the same thing, at least at some point. Children, obey your parents. Don't leave out the next two phrases. In the Lord, which is righteous. You'd have to, it breaks my heart that I even have to say these things. I lived in Booth Bay for a while. Booth Bay has a reputation of multi-generational child abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, some of the highest in the nation, on that peninsula. It's not a well-kept secret. Going back four or five generations. Interesting how many of the people who sexually abused their children were church people. Interesting how in many of the churches where it's taught, children, you obey your parents no matter what, that type of abuse happened. You know God well enough to know that was never his intention and never his idea. And I think that if you just said, children, obey your parents, and you left out the in the Lord part, you might have a better case, but the problem is you don't, and you still would be flying in the face of the way our Heavenly Father is. The words in the Lord, my commentary said, it means in the sphere of and in communion with the Lord. It means that if what the parent is telling the child to do is outside of that sphere of communion with the Lord and what he's like and the way he does things, then obedience does not have to be automatic and certainly should be questioned. I've had a number of experiences with this because the guy that traveled around and has written books and lots of people in all of my churches have gone to his seminars. He said, children, you obey your parents no matter what, even if it's wrong. You obey your parents and God will honor you for your obedience. The first time I ran into the horror of that was a 14-year-old girl in my church. This guy came into town and he had this big series of meetings, and of course all the denominations where he's worshipped, packed out and advertised, and we didn't support it. People got mad at me for that, left our church. Some of our people went. I never tell people they can't go. I just said I'm not going to endorse it because of the bad fruit that I've seen. 14-year-old girl came to after this. She was very confused. She came into my office and she was crying and she said, I don't understand. God wants me to obey my parents. And this guy said that it doesn't matter whether what they're asking me to do is wrong. God will honor it if I do what they say. Is that right? And I said, not necessarily. And I took her to this passage and I showed her the words, in the Lord, and as which is righteous, meaning that those are qualifiers. It's not just implicit obedience simply because your parents said to do it. Does it fit with the Lord? Is it righteous behavior? She started crying and sobbing. She was visibly relieved. She said, my mom's been asking me to sleep with her boyfriend. She said, I couldn't figure out why God would be telling me to do this when I know it's wrong. I'm a virgin. I'm trying to save myself. Why would God tell me to do what my mom is telling me to do, even if it's wrong? And I said, that doesn't sound anything like the Jesus you know, does it? And she says, no way. And I said, good for you. The problem is, she's 14 years old. First, I wanted to go punch the guy who said that. Then I wanted to go punch the mom. I didn't. I sure wanted to. I think that shouldn't that just scream at us? That can't be what it means. I think sometimes people who teach this, I was talking with somebody about the wife submitting themselves to their husbands, no matter what, talking about a church locally, fairly close to here, of a certain denomination that teaches this no matter what submission thing. And the wife left her husband, church sent her back, and he killed her. I've seen that happen more than once. Can't be what God was saying. I think church people can be very naive as to the amount of abuse that goes on, even in a so-called Christian home. So think that the in the Lord and the which is righteous part should qualify that there are limits to obedience. Children are so vulnerable. If there's ever anything that gets me wanting to quit my job, that's top of the list. I don't know how God's heart can stand it, the things that I've seen people do. But I think what this is saying, it seems obvious to me in verse 1 of children obeying your parents in the Lord, which is right, righteous, has to mean that orders and advice even that run contrary to this should not be implicitly obeyed and should be questioned. We've had kids in our teen group, given very, very ungodly advice by their parents. If I told you what their parents told them to do, it would shock you. Yeah, it seems the whole age thing too. Because at a certain age, you can at least question it. If you're a very young child, you can't question it. You don't have the mechanism in your heart and in your brain to question things if they're said forcefully enough by somebody who's in authority. So, are we pretty clear on what this is not saying? Here's another thing I've noticed. It's a little rabbit trail, but I'll pass this on to you. You may have figured this out by now. If there is behavior in parents that is not righteous, that is not like Jesus, and those same parents are demanding that their children obey them and do things that are righteous. They're not going to listen to what you say. Certainly, they're only going to do it as long as you're in control. And as soon as they're gone, they're going to shine everything that you said. Because what the way you lived your life canceled out what you were demanding them to do. I see this all the time. We've had people that brought their kids to Sunday school so that they could go have an affair with somebody away from their spouse. You think kids don't know stuff like that? You think that all of a sudden just because you're telling them to do the right things, they're going to do the right things if you're not doing the right things? So there's an awful lot of qualifiers, I think, in this whole thing of obeying your parents. What does that mean? I think that phrase ought to be, it's a real important point, ought to be examined in the Lord, in the sphere. Remember, this is supposed to be talking to people who are different people, because once they were darkness, now they're light in the Lord. In the Lord, and which is righteous, seems to me to be the qualifiers. Remember, we had a kid. I was shocked when we had a lot of teens in our group. A lot of them grew up and they're gone. I was shocked how many of them got their drugs from their parents and then got their pornography from their parents and were shoved into a sexual lifestyle that was not Christian by their parents. And it's not that uncommon. So, wish I didn't have to say that stuff. I think the last point I made, the do as I say, not as I do think, that isn't going to make it with kids. You do as I say and shut your eyes and don't see the way that I do it. That isn't going to work. Even if they give in to you, the minute that they are old enough to be out from under your control, they're going to do whatever they want to do. They're not going to take you seriously because you didn't take it seriously. You know what I mean? Can I say it any more blunt? I'm not mad at anybody, and I'm not even saying this applies to anybody in this room. But these studies go a lot farther than just this room. So I'm obligated to say those things. Now, verse 2, that first commandment with a promise, going all the way back to Deuteronomy 5, that does apply to all of us who had parents. No matter what age we are, no matter what age our parents are, the thing about honoring your father and your mother. So I want to know what that means, because we didn't all have very good fathers and mothers, did we? I was talking with Mike before the service, and God really spoke to me and gave me something I needed. I am always prepared to squeeze things into my notes, because often God will wing something at me at the very last second. And I realized that some of us were not raised by our birth father or our birth mother. We don't know them. I've had one contact with my birth mother who left on my fourth birthday. And I saw her once since then, and she made it clear she didn't want to, in my 40s, she didn't want to ever talk to me again. So, different story. So, I think this applies to those who raise you, even if they're not your birth father, your birth mother. But there's some wonderful things about this. The first one is the word honor. What does that mean, and what does it not mean? I'll give you the Greek word. It's a short little word, but it's a very fat one, and it's a very specific one. Timao is the Greek word, T-I-M-A-O, the verb. Interesting word. I'll just read straight out of the Greek dictionary. Slowly. It means to evaluate someone honestly and accurately, and then give them whatever respect or kindness or courtesy that their position and their character deserve. Isn't that interesting? And I want to talk about this. I blew this big time. All the way up into my 50s. Because of my Nazi stepmother. I've had people say, you shouldn't call her a Nazi. And I said, no, my brothers and sisters, we were convinced she had a little mustache and a little uniform hidden in the closet. And while we were sleeping, she would goose step around the house. She was just not a nice person. She delighted in hurting people. She was looked for any way that she could have control. And if it meant hurting someone, didn't matter if they were an adult or a child, but when you've got a whole bunch of children constantly under your care, they can be irritating. Even your little angels could be irritating. And I hated her, and I resented her. And what was even worse is I hated myself because of the power that she had over me. And that all changed in a very, very short period of time. One conversation that I had with the Lord completely turned that around. It took him 20 years to set me up for that one conversation, but I just love how he is. He sets you up, sets you up, sets you up, sets you up, and then it's okay, son, let's have a talk. He set me up by my realizing that you cannot judge people solely on the basis of their behavior. Even God doesn't do that. God knows why people are the way they are, as well as their behavior. He might detest their behavior, but he knows why they're that way. And that's all factored in with him. We just know the behavior that's detestful or that hurts us. When I would get around her, I'd had to pump myself up. This is all the way into my 50s. Pump myself up to even be around her. I wasn't around her 30 seconds before she made me feel like an absolute loser, sniveling brat who didn't deserve to breathe air. And then I'd cave into that, and then I'd hate myself. And obviously that cycle had to stop. Interestingly, every time I read this passage about honoring your father and mother, by all intents and purposes, she was my mother. She had the largest part of raising me, more than my father did, who was a good man. But I spent more time with her than anyone in my childhood. And every time I read this, I thought, this doesn't apply to me, because she's a rat. So God did like I said, he set me up for this. But one of the things that he does, and this is why I study, because I think I know what things mean until I look up the words, and sometimes I find out they don't mean what I thought they meant. And as soon as I read this definition, I'm going to read it to you again in case you didn't write it down, because it's very fat and it's very specific. Timao. It means to evaluate someone honestly, feelings aside, and accurately, prejudices aside, and then give them whatever respect or kindness or courtesy that their position and their character deserve. That would mean nothing more and nothing less. And I was in one of those times when I read through it, and God spoke to my heart that night, and he said, son, you need to do that. And I thought, well, it doesn't apply to me. You know what a Nazi she was. He said, you know, he said she cooked a lot of dinners for you and did a lot of things for you that, however messed up she was, she at least deserves for you to not hate her, to pray for her. If you can't talk to her, at least pray for her. Prayed against her for years. It's not the same. And he said, if you could see her the way I see her, you'd feel sorry for her. And you can't hate somebody you feel sorry for. And I asked God to show me what this means. You know, some parents have maybe barely anything that they deserve respect for. But what it's saying is, if your posture is that you are going to give whatever respect or courtesy their position, if nothing else, or their character deserve, that means then there's something. Maybe the honor, you know, it used to bug me when I was in grade school and we were forced to have to make Mother's Day cards for our mother. We're forced to. Of course, for most kids, it was delightful. Their mom was their hero. My mom was the Antichrist, you know. Why would I want to give her a card? I was forced to as a kid. That messes little kids up, by the way. It's interesting when I talked to Jesus, and interesting that when I started seeing her from his perspective, I realized this is a pitiful woman. She's suffered more by just being who she is than anything that she ever did to me. And I started feeling sorry for her. And I'll tell you the other thing, and it was hard. I went and I thanked her for some things that she'd done for me. I'd never, ever said thank you. I was telling somebody this story, a friend of mine. Friend of mine who was raised by, I think, the all-time, if you could give awards, I would give an award to him for the absolute worst father I've ever known. He was horrible. And I was talking about my story with my Nazi stepmother to a friend of mine, and she started crying, and she said, I don't know how I can do that with my dad. I said, can you think of anything that he did right that deserves any kind of honor? And I said, if you think of something, come back and tell me. And a couple of days later when I saw her, she said, I couldn't think of even one thing. But I'd been thinking. And I said, okay, let me just tell you a few things I came up with. Number one, he worked and he put food on the table.